This is Breakfast on RN. At this time of year, many of us will be indulging in a bit more than usual. And while we have a pretty good understanding of the impact on our waistline of this festive eating, the effect on our planet is less well understood. New research from the University of Technology in Sydney and Duke University in the United States has found most of us greatly underestimate the carbon footprint of our food choices. It's found a system of labelling similar to current five-star health ratings could be an effective guide for shoppers. Dr. Adrian Camilleri is a consumer psychologist at the UTS Business School and the co-author of this report published in the journal Nature Climate Change Today. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning.
So what is the environmental impact of our food choices? I suppose for many of us, it's not necessarily something that we think about either in the supermarket aisle or when we're shoving it in our face.
That's true. So basically, there are a few different categories or buckets that we could put foods in. And the worst bucket from the perspective of greenhouse gas emissions is beef and lamb. That's kind of the worst. And then the next bucket down, we'd have things like shrimp and turkey. And then the next bucket, we would have chicken and fish. And then basically, you've got all the rest of the foods like vegetables.
So why is the impact on the environment so much greater for those foods?
Right. So things like beef, cows are ruminant animals, and they have a digestive system that basically has microbes that process the food in the gut and release methane. So basically, cows are burping methane constantly. Methane is a potent greenhouse gas emission. And then also in the manure, it's also coming methane.
Okay. So your research has found that many of us will choose other lifestyle or habitual changes ahead of food consumption to reduce our carbon footprint. So what are the sorts of things that we're doing and how do they compare to if we made these choices in relation to food?
Right. So a lot of people talk about, I'm going to turn the lights off, you know, after I leave a bedroom. And so we decided to compare that particular metric with the consumption of different foods. So we, for example, compared beef, a serving of beef, compare that in terms of light bulb minutes, and it's about 2,500 light bulb minutes, or maybe 36 hours of a light bulb. Or we could also compare it to one serving of beef equals 1 hour of your central air conditioner being on. So it's a high emission source, but people don't tend to think of it as so.
I suppose we're asked to think about it when we book a flight. We might be asked by the airline, do you want to offset your carbon here? So I suppose as consumers, we are starting to think more about this. Why is it that we think about it in respect to some of the things we do, but not others?
Right. So we think about it in terms of something called the illusion of explanatory depth. And the idea is that we interact with many things in daily life that we think we understand. Examples might be a zipper or how a toilet works. And when we're actually pushed to explain the underlying process, it turns out that our theory breaks down. And we think this applies to food as well. Food is something we interact with every day, and we probably have a fragmentary theory of how food comes into our plate. You know, there's a farmer McDonald and the cows lovely sitting on the pasture, and then somehow it gets to our plate. But there's a whole bunch of steps in the middle that are basically invisible to consumers, and so it doesn't tend to get thought of.
So a lot of us will be stocking up the fridge this week ahead of Christmas. Are there choices that we could make right now that would mean we were being more environmentally friendly at Christmas time? Or if we're planning on turkey and ham, is that just sort of really the worst possible thing you could be doing?
Like I said, beef and lamb is the worst, but turkey and shrimp, which tend to come out around Christmas time, they're in that second bucket. So if we were going to try to move towards a more environmentally friendly option, fish and chicken would be best.
Okay, what about things like cheese and milk?
Yeah, so cheese and milk come from cows. And as I explained earlier, cows are one of the big problems. So they're actually fairly high on the list as well for environmental impact.
I mean, basically, if you're a vegetarian, you're kind of fine here. If you're a meat eater, you're the one causing the problem.
Not specifically meat eaters. I would say those who are focused on beef and lamb, those would be the bigger problem ones. So we can reduce our environmental impact by 30% by moving away from beef and lamb towards fish and chicken.
So what, if you ate more fish more frequently, you'd actually be having a significant impact on the environment longer term, would you?
If you're replacing your consumption of beef with fish or chicken, yes.
Okay, that's interesting. So what's the purpose of this research? What are you trying to establish? Is it to broaden a conversation about people's consumption habits?
Yeah, I think the big idea here is that if somebody's interested in reducing their environmental impact, this is one of the biggest options people have, and it's not one that readily comes to mind. So I think the main goal here is to just get food choices top of the list.
So you are looking at the idea of food labeling, a system, you know, that appears on the products that we buy. How would something like that work in the context you're talking about here?
So we tested a particular label and we tried to convert a metric, which is CO2 equivalent, which is fairly technical, into something that was much more readily understandable. And we focused on light bulb minutes. So we presented people with, here is a serving of beef and here is its environmental impact in terms of equivalent light bulb minutes. Like I said earlier, beef soup, which is what we tested, was something in the range of 2 to 2,500 minutes. And we also presented something that looked like a traffic light system where we had a red to green scale, just indicating this product is in the red zone relative to other products in this category.
And how did it affect people's consumption?
So overall, it reduced the amount of beef soups that people purchased in our study, and it also increased their awareness of the environmental impact of the different options available.
One question that we've just had in via text during this conversation is asking whether or not the same environmental impact applies to grass-fed beef versus grain-fed beef.
That's a good question. The answer is definitely no. So life cycle analysis has to take place basically for every farm and track what happens to that farm all the way to, you know, when it appears in our grocery store. And it differs depending on farm and the practices used on that farm. So the values that we used were an average taken from multiple life cycle analyses, but there was definitely a range.
Has this changed the way you eat?
Definitely, yes. So I've definitely tried to reduce the amount of beef and lamb intake in our household.
Right. What are you having for Christmas?
We'll have chicken.
Dr. Adrian Camilleri, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Dr. Adrian Camilleri is a consumer psychologist at the University of Technology's Sydney Business School.